The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. And welcome. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Phil Stacey, the executive sports editor of the Salem News, and Matt Williams, assistant sports editor of the News. And gentlemen, here we are, getting ready, week away from President's Day week, school vacation week, but that's always a signal when that week comes up. We're just about at the end, it's hard to believe, of the winter sports regular season. So, Phil, I guess we still have teams on the bubble, if you will, right?
Yeah. That's. I was mentioning to somebody at the rink Saturday night how sometimes, you know, we put so much stock into the playoffs. And the playoffs are great, don't get me wrong. But sometimes the end of the season, those games where teams really need to win to get in, and it doesn't even have to be a one-game scenario. I mean, a team could, let's say a basketball team is 7-9, and they need to win three of their last four to qualify. Those games can be just as exciting, if not more exciting, than playoff games because they're playing with so much intensity. You must see the same thing, Willie, when you're out and about. I think it makes for great competition and great viewing on the part of the fans, maybe without paying those tournament prices, too.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I think for most of my teams, it's kind of in or out, right? I think basketball right now is really exciting. I was listening to Nick Giannino, our esteemed hoop correspondent, transcribe his notes on a Friday night and, you know, was trying to ask Coach Karakoudis at Beverly about the upcoming Lynn English game, which is on Wednesday. And, of course, being a Belichick disciple, as everyone in New England is now, Matt would have none of it. He wanted to talk about Monday's game against a team that was fighting for its playoff life, I think, is Marblehead. They just played another team Friday, PBD, that's 9-9, fighting for its playoff life. And you know, Matt had a great, you know, observation about how you Beverly, you're 15-1, but you can't look past these teams that are 7, 8, 9 wins because they're fighting for their playoffs lives. They have seniors that don't want to end their careers. And you know, to use a hockey term, you're trying to take another team's stick away. And, you know, I thought Matt had a great, you know, line about that. I think Nick is going to include it in this week's Full Court Press column there for a tease for all the readers out there. And, you know, so that's the, you know, I thought that tied in well. And, you know, it's not just because Matt shares a very wise name. It was really a wise quote there by Mr. Karakoudis.
The Phil, bubble hockey team. So who's on the bubble in hockey?
Well, let's see. Essex Tech punched their ticket on Monday afternoon by beating the Neshoba Tech 7-1, but that was kind of a foregone conclusion for them. They're unbeaten in their last 10, playing really good hockey. They've only lost 3 games. I think that's tied with Masconomet for the lowest in this area. I bet not all the people would know that off the top of their heads. And why would they, right? But, I mean, I know it, so it's my job. So so Essex Tech's in. Obviously, Masconomet is in. Swampscott is in by virtue of winning the Northeastern Conference South. Marblehead is in, and they're going to wrap up the Northeastern Conference North. Gloucester is officially in. And then we do have, like you said, some bubble teams. So you got Bishop Fenwick, 7-7-2, so that's 16 points with 4 games left. So they need 4 points in 4 games. They got St. Mary's again, I know, coming up. They have PBD coming up in the Carlin Cup, which is always a battle. And I know under the new PBD head coach Christian Wright, they're going to look to reverse their fortunes a little bit. They've taken on the chin the last couple years against Fenwick. Beverly and Danvers are both very interesting. Beverly with a big win Saturday night, a big 2 points against Swampscott. Excuse me. So they have 3 games left. They need 4 points. Danvers in the exact same boat. 3 games left. Need 4 points. Not easy. For either team, Beverly taking on North Andover tonight. Then they have Gloucester and Methuen, who they beat already. Danvers is going to have to find a way to get points from either Swampscott, Winthrop, or Masconomet. Certainly not easy. Hamilton-Wenham is not in yet, but they should get in. St. John's Prep punched their ticket the other day by beating Newburyport, and I believe that's everybody, at least from around here. Rockport is going to get in. St. Mary's is in. We know that. So, yeah, we get some bubble teams down the stretch here that'll be fun to watch.
Now, over on with girls hockey, tell us how things are shaking down there.
It's done. It's over. That's it. Peabody's in. Fenwick's in. Masco's in. Marblehead and Beverly are out. And that's the long and the short of it. That's all the squads. So there's not much exciting going on. We do have a championship game on Wednesday at the Miller rink there in Winthrop. You know, Peabody has 15 league points, and Winthrop has 14, and this is the very last league game. So a tie would give the championship to Peabody. A win, Winthrop would leapfrog them by 1 point. And, of course, if Peabody wins, you know, they would take the championship. So that's about the only thing that's left to be decided, is the bragging rights and then, you know, playing for seeds. As we know, the girls and I believe the boys now, too, due to the Blue Ribbon Committee there in the MIAA, you know, the first round of the tournament's going to be at home. And so all these teams, Fenwick and Peabody especially, want to get as many wins as they can to get into that top 16, top 8, depending on how big the bracket is, and try to get a home game there in the first round.
Hey, I hate nitpickers, Willie, you know, because I hate them, but Miller Rink now, wait a minute here. Does this mean they're having an outdoor classic, a winter classic at Miller Field in Winthrop? You know, they're going to flood the football field down there for that?
I think it's a little too windy over there. Maybe it's, the Larson. So my apologies to Michael Ruzioni and the 1980 gold Olympians there.
And all of them, right, exactly.
You can put the car keys down. We're all set.
No hockey at Miller Field. No. Again, I feel like an idiot to bring that up, but it was I love the image of an outdoor rink at Miller Field.
That's what we call in the business a good catch.
Although, 10 years ago, last month, Willie and I saw Winthrop play an outdoor hockey game at Fenway Park against Marblehead. And they were undefeated in those games, right? And they win 2-0, I want to say, that day. Winthrop beating Marblehead.
Winthrop did win, yeah.
Yeah.
If they played another one since or whatever, but that day they did come out on top.
You know what's interesting, I think, is that it's always been that we've had the basketball state tournament pairings come out on a Friday. And then the hockey usually comes out on a Saturday. It appears as though, if I'm reading this correctly on the MIA site, both of them are coming out on Friday this year. Have you heard anything contrary to that?
No. I mean, those are the dates that are posted. And, you know, I think they're looking to start on Monday, the 24th. I thought that they weren't allowed to start until Monday when I read that, but they could have changed that. They tend to change their minds all the time, and you know, I don't think they're going to tell somebody at 5 o'clock on Friday, hey, get ready to play, right? Because all those brackets are unofficial for 24 hours so that everybody who reported their record wrong can say, wait a minute, we're 12-6, not 13-5, so, or, you know, vice versa. So I feel like that's not nearly enough time to get ready. I believe there won't be any hockey until Monday. I think the note says, you know, reserve your ice time starting on Monday in the fine print.
Games along with some maybe Division III are the preliminary round games on either the girls or the boys side, I think.
It's going to depend on how big the brackets are. And obviously the boys' brackets are a lot smaller because they don't have a statewide tournament yet. You know, the girls, on the other hand, have 40 freaking teams and, you know, preliminary rounds and everything else. So I'm guessing the boys probably won't even start until the following weekend, you know, except for the Super 8.
No. They usually have, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think Division 2 usually goes Tuesday, Friday that first week. Division 1, I want to say, is Thursday, and Division 3 is Wednesday, Saturday. Again, I could be wrong. I'm just going off of what's happened in the past.
That depends on, I mean, you know, so if there's 12 teams in this thing, we may not have a team in until Friday, because obviously Masco is going to get a bye and be seeded one or two, and, you know, et cetera. So, yeah, there could be prelim games there Monday or Tuesday, I guess. I mean, you know, knock on wood, they might spread these things out and, you know, keep these teams close to their home rinks for once. I mean, you know, the last thing we need is another Essex Tech versus Triton playoff game in Watertown for no reason. I'll tell you, we're not making that trip again. That's, you know, like, why? I don't understand, if you're the MIA, why you would put two teams north of Danvers, you know, in Watertown for a playoff game.
Did that happen the year before, too, when they played North Reading?
I may have made up the Triton part. It was a great game, an overtime game. The Essex Tech goalie played very well, and you know, yeah, the I may have mixed up my Cape Ann League squads there, but I mean, you know, geez, North Reading is even further away from Watertown. I just don't I don't understand this boys' hockey tournament. We've talked about
Frank Carey forgives you. That's okay.
We've talked about this on the podcast before. I don't get it. I really just, it flummoxes me.
All right, so we know that the Masco girls should have a first-round game, I'm guessing. Peabody as well. What about Fenwick? Home game, I guess, is the better way to say that.
Masco's not going to be at home. That's not very unlikely, I would say. Fenwick.
They went out?
They're not going to win out, but they're 8-4-3, I think. So, I mean, they're probably going to be – it's going to depend on how many teams make it. I mean, if they have –
because they still have HPNA, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not probably not beating them. They're probably not – I don't know how many games they're going to win at that Newburyport tournament either. But Masco's going to find a way to put the puck on the net. You know, that's the thing. Like, they're only averaging 1.7, 1.8 goals against, but they're averaging about 2 goals for, and so they just have to find a way to score. I mean, their leading scorer has about 12 points, and that's after last year having, you know, a first line that combined for 130 points. So that's, you know, they really need to find a way to score the basketball, as they say, or in this case the hockey puck. And you know, they're going to be a tough out in the tournament, certainly, because you get in a low scoring game, a goaltender's duel, overtime, all you need is a bounce to win. And you know, we'll go over some of the numbers before the tournament, but Masco's had great success in the tournament as an underdog. You know, that's one of the underplayed stories of their run the last 3 or 4 years. Almost every game they've been the lower seed, and you know, done a tremendous job. So certainly, you know, home or away, they'll be a tough out. And I would imagine there will be, once again, 2 playoff games at the McVann O'Keefe Rink. You know, Fenwick is right now a top 8 team in Division 2 with 2 games to go, and I would imagine at least the top 16 will get home games, because there'll be at least 32 teams. And same thing for Peabody. Right now they're, I think, 7th in Division 1, so I don't see them falling out of the top 16, even if they should lose.
If they would stay in that.
Well, so last year the round of 16 was at a neutral ice, and I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, again, you know, I think Peabody and St. Mary's girls played down in Watertown for no readily apparent reason, which hurt the crowd for that game. So it's unclear if the second round of the girls' tournament will be at home or not.
Let me ask you a question here. If I know you mentioned that they are not going to qualify for the postseason, but had the Beverly Danvers Ipswich team qualified, would they have had a home game at Bourke, or would that have been deemed like it's not really a tournament facility? It's a beautiful rink, but it doesn't hold a ton of people.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, it holds just as many as McVann O'Keefe, right? I mean, probably more. I think that would have just come down to their seed. Like, and, you know, again, if they were, let's say, the preliminary round, you know, let's say they were 35 teams in there, you know, if they were seeded 33rd and they were hosting the 34th team, right? I mean, there's a chance they could have got in. I believe that, you know, if they play boys games at home, I don't see why Danvers wouldn't play there. I mean, unless they wanted to play at Essex Tech. I know they have they still have a banner there. I don't know the last time they played a home game
there,
but
hockey plays.
Oh, youth hockey. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cause they have a banner at Endicott too, but you know, I guess that would be a choice. I know, you know, in the past, you know, going way back, speaking of Essex Tech, like, you know, at times, if Peabody had a chance to play at home, Mark Leonard liked to steer his team towards Salem State because of the bigger ice, and he had a fast team. So I don't know if, you know, that would factor in for Danvers if they wanted to pick Essex or Endicott. But, I mean, to me, Endicott, if you can host the Commonwealth Coast Conference Championship, if you can host NCAA Division III championship, you know, tournament games. Yeah. I mean, you know, Division II high school hockey thinks it's more important than the NCAA. I mean, I know that, you know, not to cast aspersions, but, I mean, yeah, if you can host a NCAA game, I think you can host an MIAA game. I mean, come on.
All right, man. I'm just going to touch very quickly on basketball here. I know we don't have Nick with us here for the podcast from boys basketball, but, you know, I'm looking at you know, we have an unusual week. We barely got into the flow of the regular season here in January after the holidays, and now we've got this unusual week with the Monday, Thursday kind of high school basketball this week, and now the following week is vacation week and tournaments and different things like that as their teams are kind of wrapping up their regular seasons. And I'm just looking here, you know, in girls basketball, you know, it seems like I don't know who the dominant teams are in the area, but you know, the two private schools, St. Mary's and Bishop Fenwick, maybe teams to watch, yeah. Even though they both certainly St. Mary's has that win streak going heading into this week, but over on the
Wednesday night.
Fine, and but St. Mary's has got has won, I don't know, a bunch in a row here, 13, 14 games. And then on the boys' side, you both have both those two schools, again, you know, looking to move on and do some things in the tournament. And again, we a subject that we've talked about, obviously, Lynn English and Beverly are playing this week in boys' basketball. English is just a phenomenal team. But, you know, I like the way Beverly's progressing. I saw them, you know, last week, and they're looking pretty solid, but they're in that D1 tournament, so it's going to be a tough place to be for the Beverly boys basketball team. Oh, they are too.
Okay.
Well, you know, either way, that playing Lynn English is a great, really good tournament primer for them. And there's one of two ways that can go. I mean, if you're Beverly and you – well, I mean, obviously there's one of two ways it can go, but I'm saying
– one might be more likely.
Yeah. There's a 50-50 chance. Let's say they were to lose, and I think, you know, most people pragmatically would say it would take a lot for – I mean, it just takes nothing away from Beverly, just how good Lynn English is. But let's say Beverly were to lose. I think if they were to lose a close game, you know, they lost by within 8 points or something. It's a loss, but that could be a real shot in the arm for them. Like, hey, we went against what could be the best team in the state here, and we were right with them for 32 minutes here. I mean, they didn't put us away or anything like that. Consequently, if it was one of these games where English comes out and, as they've done to so many teams this year, get out to a huge lead and, you know, keep their foot on the gas and all, you wonder what that does. You know, they might go into the playoffs, let's say 18-2, but it's like, oh, we had that one loss. So you hope that if that were to happen, we're certainly not saying it will, but if that were to happen, it doesn't one game doesn't derail what has been a great season for them. It would be wonderful to see them. I think a lot of people around would love to see Beverly win that game. Just to say that, like, hey, you know, I mean, there's nobody, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day, and you stay, you know, there's nobody that can go undefeated. The league's that good, and da-da-da-da-da. But if it doesn't happen, a close loss, I don't necessarily think that's the worst thing in the world for Beverly moving forward.
No, I totally agree with that, too. And you know, there are teams, you know, that aren't getting challenged within their leagues, and but Beverly will definitely be challenged with this game within their league for sure. Hey, well, just thinking of one other thing, flipping back to girls basketball, and a game I know you guys covered in the news, but the North Reading-Masco girls game, where I went to the first matchup this year down at North Reading, where Masco won on the road at North Reading, of course, going up against their former coach, Bob Romeo, who's now at the down, who's now the head coach at North Reading. And Masco looked like the superior team that night. North Reading looked a little smaller, you know, a little younger, all of that. But North Reading pulled the upset the other night when they rematched up at Masconomet. So a nice little shout-out to Coach Bob Romeo from North Reading Basketball, now from North Reading, formerly longtime coach at Masconomet, winning at his own at his old home at Masconomet. So,
and we get some good basketball tournaments coming up, too, over the next week. You have that the Larry Mack tournament at Beverly High. What's that, the IAABO?
IBO
130, yeah. Yep, tournament. Which, you know, they do a fantastic job running that over at Beverly High. You have the intercity matchup between the Peabody girls and Fenwick. I believe Beverly is playing Revere, which is another good matchup in the second game. On the boys' side, you have Beverly and Masconomet, which should be a decent game. And then the other one is Gloucester and who am I forgetting?
Danvers.
Thank you. No.
Not the prep, is it?
Not Fenwick? Is it Fenwick?
It might be Fenwick, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of the inverse of what you said for the Beverly boys in English. If you're Fenwick, you know, yeah, you've played some great players this year, you know, St. Mary's and the one kid whose name escapes me down at Spelman. But you're Fenwick. You're a Division IV team stepping up to play a team that might be the number one seed in Division II in Beverly.
Right.
In you know, should
a really good Revere team.
Should both teams advance to that you know, to that Monday final? That's a great boys game tune up for Fenwick. You know, if they can go toe to toe with a really good Division II team in Beverly, they're gonna be feeling pretty good going into the Division IV tournament themselves.
And that's a great coaching matchup too, if that were to happen in the finals between Adam DeBadges, you know, who certainly has done a terrific job. I'm sorry,
we're talking boys.
Oh, I'm sorry, I think we're talking the girls. My
My bad. Well, that's a decent. I don't even know if Beverly's girls are in. Are they in?
In the state tournament. Yes, I believe they just got it.
Yeah.
No, they need one win.
I don't know.
When
Haley Anderson got her 1,000th point the other day, they lost that buzzer beater to Peabody, but I believe they're like 10-7, so I do think they're already in.
Okay. Well, that's a good. I mean, yeah, the Beverly, you know. The girls would be a good game, too, but, you know, for the boys.
Yeah.
Well, sort of the inverse. So Beverly stepping up to play English, but then Fenwick stepping up to play Beverly. Beverly's going to be the heavy favorite in that one and could give a smaller division team a boost going into the tournament confidence-wise.
You had me at inverse.
You got any good Larry Mack stories?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, geez, I could tell tons of Larry Mack stories. Always with a great joke. Not always ones that I can tell my kids, but some great jokes. Always for life. I saw Larry, I guess one that's recent within the past year. You know, if you listen to this podcast, you follow the paper or on Twitter or whatever. I don't go to too many basketball games. You know, we have great coverage for that from Nick and Gene, and I spend most of my time in the rink. But in a former life, I did do a lot of basketball games. And Larry was one of the first guys who really befriended me and kind of enough took me under his wing, so to speak, was the right way to say it. But I did a lot of Salem High basketball games in the early 90s. I mean, that seems like a million years ago. But, you know, when Scoonie Penn was playing and Jamal Kamar and some of those guys. And then when the Harrington brothers would play later on. And Larry was a fixture at those games. And I did a lot of girls' games, too, when some of Larry's daughters were playing. So Larry was always a great guy. He's still a great guy. When I saw him at the Salem High Hall of Fame banquet last March, you know, he's not as spry as he used to be, obviously. He's in his mid-80s now, but he's still sharp as a tack and loves telling old stories. And his jokes aren't as quick as they once were, but he still has a ton of them. So I think it's wonderful that Paul Halloran and the guys at the IBO 130 honor him in this way. And it is a great tournament. And we've got other great tournaments coming up, too, with, I think, the St. Mary's Spartan Classic they're hosting this week. They got the Eddie Guerra's tournament in Danvers, the girls' tournament, which is beginning of next week, I want to say. St. John's Prep, what's are they in that? Is it the Comcast tournament? I know.
They used to be. I don't know what they're in.
They're in something nowadays.
Good, yeah.
But I think they are eliminated from the postseason, aren't they, at this point?
I believe they need to
need to win out at this point? Yeah, with a real young team.
For the Eagles, if you will.
Well, to borrow a phrase from another Eagles head coach, they play one of the toughest schedules in the state. Year in and year out, so it's tough to. Well,
they got lost to St. Mary's. They got Baldwin this week. Well, isn't that? I mean, you know, they lost a lot of great players, but
yeah,
this. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people feeling bad for St.
Mary's. Oh no, no.
10 wins on that schedule for sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's just my opinion.
Haven't not seen them play, I don't know, but.
It's just, I mean, unfortunately, their best player transferred to Govs, and, you know, they're working hard. They're well coached. I mean, I think John, John does a really nice job, but I don't think, you know, anybody over there, I don't think too many teams in the state will be crying poor Richard for the prep and their tough schedule. That's just my opinion. Based on what I've heard of other people, there tends to be some snickering when things don't go well for St. John's. Some jealousy, perhaps.
I think you might have hit that on the head. There you go.
He had me at inverse.
We've had an inverse this week. Unbelievable. Okay. Guys, maybe we'll wrap it up. I don't know if there's anything else in the local scene you want to touch on or quick.
St. John's Prep, they won their dual meet championship in wrestling this past weekend. So congratulations to Manny Costa. If there was a Mount Rushmore of local wrestling coaches, I think there'd be four photos of Manny up there. He just churns out great wrestlers year after year. So congratulations to the Eagles and to all of our teams as they get ready for sectionals this weekend. I know we touched a little bit last week on Beverly and Marblehead Swampscott and Danvers and Masconomet, but good luck to all of our teams. We also had, sectional swimming this past weekend with some good results there and states coming up. So good luck to all of our swimmers. It's getting to the fun time of the season, Bill.
Matt, you want to add anything?
Well, this track this week, I think, you know, sort of underrated story. I was just looking at the Division One seedings, and I mean, the Peabody Girls are like number one in a bunch of events. So this could be a team that could finish like top five, top three if they get all these points. Because, you know, if you don't need a deep team, you just need a bunch of firsts. And they get the number one seed, I think, in the shot put and the 300 and I think two different relays. I mean, that's, geez, they win all four of those. That's 40 points. And that's a lot of points. You know, no pressure or anything. But I think it's kind of lousy that the, you know, based on the availability of the Reggie Lewis Center, like the track is spread out. You got Division One on Wednesday, Division Four or Five is on Thursday. It's like, I don't know, maybe you just
five different nights.
You just get used to these important meets happening on the weekend, and you know, if Peabody girls win a state title on Wednesday, like, it's gonna get lost in the shuffle. It'd get much more play in the paper if it was on a Saturday. You know, not that it's all about the paper, but it's weird to me that these big meets are in the on a random Wednesday. I don't know, like as a kid. As a track person that's getting ready for a big race, I mean, it's almost like a football game. You do your pre-meet, you get ready, you stretch and everything. I mean, having to max out on a Wednesday, that's weird. I don't know what I think about that.
It is all about the paper, though. Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, let's not...
If a team wins a state title, or if another team wins, like, eight straight state titles, but it's not in the paper, did it really make a sound?
Splash.
Now we're back to swimming. Okay. Oh, man.
We didn't cast it. That was a mystery, Bill. How did you know it was swimming?
How did you decipher that? That was
a secret code.
Yeah.
Very literal. Maybe that's it. All right. Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, and I'm Bill Newell. Thanks a lot for being with us.
The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com.